it's over and your dreams have not come true. You're the last one of the nighttime people. Tell me what you do. You take a break, hug the bar. It's funny what you'll see. There's a face reflected back, looks a bit like me. All the hopes, all the dreams you have put aside. And how will you face tomorrow when your music dies? Where do you go when it's over and everybody's gone? You're the last of the nighttime people, wearing like a crown. Where do you go when it's over and your dreams have not come true? You're the last one of the nighttime people.
Last one of the nighttime people.
Last one of the nighttime people. Tell me what you do.
All right. This is Steve Carrigan, and welcome to Local Folk, where I bring on the people that are making folk culture happen all around. I have a guest tonight that I'm going to introduce in just a moment. That song that we just heard is an indicator of who I will be speaking with. And if you can guess, I will give you free tickets to my St. Patrick's Day show this Saturday night. Anyways, my bet that I put out there earlier was a little bit of a trick question because my guest is a folk singer, but he's not from Portsmouth, New Hampshire. His son is actually an excellent photographer. He's a wedding photographer. He's just an excellent photographer. And his name is Shane Corcoran. And his dad is John Corcoran. And when Shane told me that his dad was not only a folk, had a career as a folk singer, but also a career as a stuntman, I said, my God, this sounds very interesting. John Corcoran, welcome to the show.
I thank you very much. It's nice to be here.
So when I heard this, I said, wow. So, you know, a lot of people try to leave their worries behind and go off and sing, but you were a stuntman for your career. Is that's correct?
That's correct. I did it all.
You did it all. Yeah.
What happened to me... was I was at the right place, yeah, at the right time, yeah, several times.
Several times?
Yeah, different times. And as a result, I had spent, let's start way, way back.
Yeah, let's start. That's usually what I do here in this program, is I go, like, way back.
Way back. Well, in my case, I'm almost as old as dirt. It's quite obvious when you start to question the songs that I know, you find that they start in 1900 and keep going. And that's pretty much how my mind is, unless I'm doing Irish folk, and then the songs go back to the 1600s or earlier.
Back to the 1600s.
So it goes on. I'm the first of 15 children.
15 children.
Right. Now that means... one of several things, mostly Irish and Catholic.
Mostly,
you know, with 15, you got to figure that's it. You know,
well, I found when I first laid eyes on you, I said, "Boy, this guy has some similarities to my own father," mm-hmm, because I think you look like him a little bit. And he was one of 10.
He was one of 10.
Yeah, but you're one of 15.
Yeah, well, that's because your father had more money than ours, and they were able to buy a television before we could.
Yeah, is that what
my father, and of course this always opens the line to humor, my father was a bricklayer, better known as a mason.
Yes.
Okay, let's put it that way. Although I don't mean a mason, because then you get in trouble with the church.
Yes,
so I mean,
right.
you don't know where to stand, and right now they're changing popes, so I don't know where I'm going to be. But that first song that you played really was a turning point in my life that I didn't notice,
okay,
but it happened.
Okay.
And that was, I found myself performing in the nighttime, when I wasn't in New York doing film. I made a deal with a club on Route 1 in Saugus called The Prince. Okay. Great place, still there, has their Leaning Tower.
The tower, yeah.
Yeah. So I was there for 30 years.
Wow.
And the deal was every time I left to do a film or television or whatever it was I was doing at the time, he'd go dark. And when I came back, we'd have a big party. John's back. And so I ended up doing that for 30 years with the Prince. And as a result, I found myself playing for crowds of 300 and 400.
Nice.
Every night. And then I started doing children's shows. I was the first one on the North Shore to ever do a children's show.
No kidding.
And I used to bring, families would come in, I'd teach the children songs, folk songs or original tunes, and they'd learn them. Now, when I'm playing, someone will come up to me and they have children with them, and they'll say, "You got to sing this song. I remember it when I was a kid, and you taught it to me. I want my kids to learn it," which is really kind of a lot of fun.
So, okay, so let's back up here for a minute. I mean, all joking aside, how long ago was it that you started doing this at the Prince? First of all, isn't that an Italian place?
Yes, it's Italian.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the Leaning Tower and all that?
Oh, it's all Italian. When I got there, a good friend of mine had just left who was playing entertainment for them, and it was a rather small venue.
I mean, it wasn't like it is now.
No, that is partially my fault. It's one day I leave on a Sunday, my day off. I come back for Wednesday night, and they've added an addition to sit 300.
Thanks, John.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised. But, you know, we're back in the days where the pitchers were served. 18 years old was a drinking age.
Yes, okay.
But what I found happening to me was that in my heart, I was a folk singer.
Yeah.
I loved sea shanties. I loved the Irish. Been singing Irish since I was 14. And being paid for.
Right,
which
right.
Is really.
That's big time. I
really
think.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And from a family as large as mine, you know, you did a gig and you walked home and you had $100 in your pocket. They went, "What?"
Yeah.
And it went on the table and, you know, it went to the family.
So how old were you when you started? First of all, did you grow up with music in the family then?
No.
Okay, where
and
did you?
And that's really strange because I found out years later that my grandfather,
yes,
was a songwriter,
really?
Back in Ireland before he was asked to leave, and there are some cousins in Ireland right now who bought my grandfather's place, and they have a traditional trio, all ancient instruments, and one of the songs came out on their new LP, well, it's not LP anymore, it's a CD.
Okay.
It was a song that my grandfather wrote, and that was how we were able to get in touch with that particular side of the family, which we had lost contact with.
So you found a link between the music and yourself, even though it was skipped. You know, your dad, who was a bricklayer, he'd come home and be like...
There was no... my dad, God bless him, and he's still around. He cannot hold a tune for his life. No way. But he loves to sing. Okay, that love is still there. But we overpower him all the time, or we try to. And but his father was a musician and a songwriter back in, excuse me, back in Ireland, and did well, I guess.
Did he share that story with you, or I mean?
No, my brother Brian, whom I used to sing with as the Cochran Brothers, he discovered them when he was over in Ireland setting up his own tours, which he now does, tours of Ireland. And he went to visit the old homestead, as we had done years in the past, just to see who was around, what was happening.
Ah.
He found the band that on Facebook and realized that they were related, and one thing led to another. And so now we do correspond with them. And,
well, that's unbelievable.
And we're getting their CDs, and they've received all of ours. We've mailed them out to them, and they love the crack. They think it's just so unusual.
Yeah.
But then, well, I started doing a history of the family name. The Cochran name was for minstrels.
Minstrels.
A minstrel. The symbol for the family symbol, the coat of arms, is for a minstrel.
No kidding.
A traveling singer.
So those roots run deep then.
Yes. Unknown to us, but they certainly made themselves show, made themselves visible. And
My family crest has like a lizard on it. I mean, I don't even know what that's supposed to mean.
Yeah,
lizard?
It means you better stay in the warmer climates. You know?
that's what it means.
You'll be right at home.
Yeah, I can't figure it out. Oh, a lizard, that's great. What is that supposed to mean?
You know, when I was young, I was playing, I had my cousin's ID. I was playing bars by the time I was 15. And then I would go on the weekends. I would take the train into Greenwich Village to meet other entertainers that were there that were doing their thing.
Really?
Yeah, and would hang around. Anytime there was a place that would let me, I'd do an opening act or pass the hat type thing. And because I was 14, 15, had an Irish tenor voice, was writing my own songs, which weren't great, but they were original, I did pretty well.
So you weren't thinking that you were going to be an Irish musician?
No, I originally, my dream was to be a priest.
Okay.
And when I was working in the village and picking up jobs, I went by the name of Deacon John.
Is that right?
Because, a lot of people got a chuckle out of it. I met Bob Dylan down there in those years, and he got a chuckle out of my name. And Phil Oakes, whom my son Sean did quite a write-up on, he got permission from the family to do an extensive. My son Sean is not a photographer. He's an investigative reporter for NPR.
Oh, really?
And he works the Cape and the Islands.
No kidding.
And then I have a daughter who's an artist, like Shane, only she teaches art at Bishop Fenwick College.
Oh, really?
In Peabody, yep. And Shane here, the big artist, photographer artist of the family.
Yes.
And he's doing a great job. He's making more than any of us. But
he's documenting
life.
Life and love, I think.
Things,
he's documenting those.
Oh, he's
things,
really into the love bit, yeah.
Hey, you know, you get, I mean, I don't know. It touches me.
It does, because, you know, I've looked at his photography, and it does have something different in it. His eye is different. I mean, I've known that since he was a kid, deciding that he was going to be a skateboarder. And end up being a hell of a skateboarder. I mean, he went down to talk us into bringing him to, what was it, Pennsylvania? Yeah, Pennsylvania for skateboard camp.
Cool.
I mean, he was 10 years old when he recognized, what's that guy's name? Tony Hawk.
Tony Hawk, that's right.
Saw Tony Hawk at a restaurant up in North Conway, recognized him, went right over to him, say hello. And they talked about boards and which one he
Cool.
So he's never shy, never shy.
That's a good thing.
But what happened to me was that, you know, I was growing up, I was making jobs, doing jobs in the bars or wherever I could get one. I went away to the seminary.
Really?
And studied at Merino Seminary in Glen Ellyn, Illinois. And must admit, I spent more time with the guitar and writing music. And we had back then what they would call a gaudiamus, which is a celebration. And once a month they'd have it. And those seminarians that played guitar or put together a little group would get up there. And they heard.
I've never heard of this before. Is it something that only happens at seminary?
Well, I don't know that. I can't say.
Okay.
That's where I learned of it. And they invited me to play. Because they had heard already, there's no secrets in the seminary. No secrets. They know everything about you.
Really?
And so they knew that I was a singer. I was a player and a writer. So they invited me to play the first Gaudiamus when I was there. And I went up and I did The Vatican Rag.
Vatican Rag.
which is a great song, even more poignant today than it was back then, but it was a shocker.
Yeah.
It was a shocker. All of the students were crazy over it.
Yeah.
They went crazy. They had never heard of Tom Lear, who later wrote for That Was the Week That Was, and he was a teacher advanced in mathematics at Harvard, all right? But they never heard of him.
Okay.
Right? But Tom already had a couple LPs out that were kind of sold just to those in the know.
And, okay.
But Vatican Rag was, you know, one of his tunes.
Oh, boy.
And I became friends of every student there and the enemy of every teacher.
Oh, well, I don't know. Was that sort of a sign?
I took a long while to accept that that was the fact of life, that I didn't belong there.
Yeah.
And so when I did leave, I had made a lot of friends. I had gotten my first black belt from a gentleman who was Special Forces, and he came back from Nam and he entered the seminary. So he was my trainer.
So you're in the seminary and you're learning karate?
Yeah.
Oh.
And he got me into a competition in Chicago, and the competition went well, and I succeeded in getting my first black belt.
Wow.
So now I leave the seminary. I go to Emerson College.
I know Emerson.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because I heard it was the best speech school, and I had been born as a stutterer.
Oh,
severe stutterer.
Really?
And when I got sick a few years ago, that came back along with other physical problems I had didn't know about. See, what it was is I went in for mouth cancer.
Yes.
And during the surgery, everything stopped, my heart especially. And for many numerous reasons, which are great for TV shows but not good for patients,
right,
I was 47 minutes on a doctor giving me CPR and an AMBU for oxygen until the crash team could get to me. As a result, those 47 minutes took a lot of my brain away from me. And that was the hardest part, and still is for me in many ways, where I'll see someone that I think I know.
Yeah.
And I'll go up and ask them, and of course, I look foolish, and they look at me like, what? And I'll have to explain, look, I had several strokes, and I've lost a part of my memory.
Yeah.
Do I know you? Because
yeah,
if I do, I do not want to insult you by not recognizing you.
Yeah.
If I don't know you, no harm done. You know me now. My name's John.
He uses a meet-and-greet tool now.
Right? That's just what I've used it for. And, of course, I've had some balance problems walking. So I have been completely out of the loop for a couple of years.
For a couple of years. I have a question. I mean, I'm sure people ask you this. When this whole thing, and you were down for 47 minutes, did you have any kind of experience or anything like that? Or
I had a woman that came up to me and said, did you see the light?
Yeah.
And I couldn't resist. I'm sorry. But I said, light? I was going so fast. I thought I was going a million miles an hour right towards that light. When all of a sudden this voice appeared, who left the light on here? You know, electricity costs money, and the light went out. And I shouldn't have done it to her, but yes, I had paranormal experiences. I dreamed of meeting a lot of different people, and I was told it was all dreams, and it was induced by medication, and I don't believe it.
Yeah.
I don't believe it. I believe that who I said I met.
Yeah.
And who I spoke to and the things I learned, they're real.
Yeah.
But it's about me.
Yeah.
And, you know, not everything is about me,
yeah,
as
right,
my wife would say. But in that particular case, yes. It's something I have not shared. I've written it up,
okay,
but
sure,
I haven't shared it yet because I don't know what is going to come of it.
Right. Okay.
You know,
yep.
I feel the story is interesting. I was in ICU, my fourth week. The doctors told my wife, take him off the machines. He's gone. He's just a vegetable. He'll never walk. He'll never talk. I know it's hurtful, but you've got to take him off.
Right.
And she went into the room where I was in ICU, and she stood in the far corner of the room, and she spoke my name. She said, John. And she said, I turned towards her voice. She went to the other corner of the room and called my name again. Not called, just spoke it, John. And I turned around to try and find it, although I was still in a coma. A couple days later, I came out of the coma.
See?
And so, and the doctors were glad that they were wrong.
Yeah. Oh,
and
wow.
She was, too. It's been a hard couple of years, learning to walk properly, you know, with the balance problems I have, learning to speak again properly.
I don't see any symmetry issues or anything like that. Did anything like my wife suffered a stroke a few
did
years
she?
Ago. Yeah, she did. She suffered. It's been a little bit over 3 years now since she had a stroke. She had one about a week after our child was born.
Oh,
and I mean it was.
How is she doing?
Well, she's doing well. She's doing very well, in fact.
Excellent.
But she's had many struggles. She struggles with fatigue, especially right now, and also she's, you know, but when she was under and she was on that ventilator, you know, when I would talk to her, even though she wasn't really responsive very much, she would squeeze my hand.
Now, this is something that I do tell people, and that is I could hear Fran, my wife, I could hear her talking to me, and I heard different things, doctors, and I heard Shane once. I didn't know he was coming into the hospital. I didn't know I was in a hospital. I had no idea. That concept never occurred to me. Where are you? When I finally came out of the coma and the doctor says, do you know where you were? I says, hospital? He says, do you know what the date is? And I says, well, why don't you move away from the calendar and I'll try and figure it out here. I mean, and I thought I was in a car accident.
Yeah.
Why did I think that? Because my wife stood over my bed and talked about a car accident she had been on Christmas Eve or right around Christmas. A young kid didn't know how to drive in the snow and smashed right into her. She was okay. But you see, that got through that whole conversation. And so I assumed I was the one in the car accident.
I see. Yeah? Yeah.
So it's kind of funny. But we do hear. People do hear when they're in a coma. They may not be able to respond, but talking to them, reading to them, singing their favorite songs, this all makes a difference in helping you to come back to the reality that is outside of your mind. And so it's kind of important. So all together, we still haven't answered the question I presented, and that was when I started working the prints, I was no longer working the loft or in Boston or 47. I was working where they needed a high-energy entertainer.
Okay.
400 people a night.
Well, did you have to build that audience, or did they say, look, we put an addition on here, this fits 300 now, you got to fill this place, and that's it?
Well, actually, I came this close to buying the addition from them. And the last minute, the owner said, I don't know about this. And I was hoping so much that he would go along with it, you know, because I was thinking of my future.
Right.
But anyway, he finally said no. But what happened was that I took off. Literally, I took off. I became extremely glib. The folk music and the thoughtful folk, those things, that would not work on at the Prince or 400 500 people.
Okay.
And I start working copper fields in Boston, where it's wall-to-wall people, and the Celtics are all there, and which we used to have a lot of fun with, you know. Or the Bruins were all there when they were the, you know, what did they call them back then? The Bruins were, I mean, you don't know. Looking at you. Big Bad Bruins. And they were, I mean, a fight a night or more, you know. And they came in. They loved the music. So they started calling us and hiring me for their parties at home and blah, blah, blah. But everything was high energy entertainment.
So this brings up a subject that I would love to talk about, but I think I'd like to play another one of your original songs.
Let's see what it's close to. Right
it would probably it would probably just be a song, you know, the song number 2 or whatever that's on the CD. It's probably called, hold on, just one moment.
We'll see. We'll look at it.
I'm going to guess it's called Dust Roads.
Dusty Roads.
Dusty Roads.
I bet we've passed that. I'm going to guess, since I've been watching it playing, that, let me see, One Last Chance for Glory, that might be it, or Fly for Me. Let's see what we got.
What we got, and we'll be back in just one moment here on Local Folk.
Ain't got no tomorrows hanging round my door. Time for me to find the key for leaving. I've known a lot of sorrows, I'll probably make some more. But doing it's a whole lot more than dreaming. Come on, rain, wash away the empty road. Shine a misty rainbow, brighten up my days. Time again for heading down a dusty road. Maybe find a friend or two to help me on my way. I'm getting tired of trying, nothing left for me. They've broken every dream I ever needed. Keep looking now for someone to hold close to me. Someone I know I can believe in. Come on, rain, wash away the empty road. Shine a misty rainbow, brighten up my days. Time again for heading down a dusty road. Maybe find a friend or two to help me on my way. Shine a misty rainbow, brighten up my days. Time again for heading down a dusty road. Maybe find a friend or two to help me on my way.
All right, we're back on Local Folk. Hey, I just need to let everybody know, I'm with, this is your host, Steve Carrigan. I'm with John Corcoran, and we have been speaking a lot about how we got going with folk music and later on a whole career in it, and then having a stroke and recovering, all kinds of things. But then he brought up a point that I wanted to talk about in just a moment, because I have to let you know what's going to be happening in the community right now, the community calendar. I need to let you know that the first Wednesday of every month is Acoustic Jam Night with Chip at Rice Public Library in Kittery. These sessions take place from 6 to 8 p.m. More information is at 207-439-1553. And if you have an item of interest that you would like to include in our community calendar, go to our website, wscafm.org, okay, for guidelines and information, and then email communitycalendar@wscafm.org. All right. I also ought to let you know that if you want to catch this show again, you can go to wscafm.org, and you can go to the archives, or you could go to stephencarrigan.com, and there's a link for the Local Folk archives there as well, if you'd like to get this later on. Anyways, I'm with John Corcoran, and he was telling me that he had to put thoughtful folk, as he said, I'm just paraphrasing now, aside in order to be a high-energy entertainer. Now, I perform in a band right now, and we just did a gig at the Nottingham Community Church. It was a small, intimate setting, and we were able to play all kinds of thoughtful things. But we also play every Thursday night at a pub. Yeah. And so the discussion is always there. Do we bring them to the thoughtfulness? Do we reach out to them in this entertainerly kind of way, or you know, this high energy kind of thing? Do we give them both? Do we give them what they want? Do we give them what they need? What was your strategy and what was your thought? Because you seem to make certainly a distinction between these two things.
Oh, I think there is a distinction. I also worked pubs and Black Rose. I was there for 25 years doing Sunday nights. And that was different from the Prince, because there I had a lot of tourists, and their conception of what Irish music was Danny Kaye.
Yeah.
All right? They just didn't understand. For me to get up there and to sing Ordinary Man, they were shocked. They were shocked by it. So I had to keep doing Tommy Makem's and the Clancy Brothers, the up Irish drinking songs, and then every fifth or sixth song, I actually could control the crowd enough to bring them down to do a ballad that meant something, whether it was Kevin Barry or James Connolly or Four Green Fields or Green Fields of France, John of Dreams, these songs here which touched my heart.
Yes.
I was able to get out.
Okay.
The Streets of London and all great, great songs, which over 25 years, the audience certainly learned.
Sure.
So then all of a sudden, I was entertaining a lot of Irish people who were coming to, the young ones that were coming to the States, yeah, as well as their parents visiting to see if they were still alive because they never called home, and the tourists. And so I had to keep them both happy. Now I got to the
That's
Prince.
That's tough.
It's, oh yeah.
I would say, is that even possible?
There, it can be possible, but you got to stop. I think that, I'm trying to remember a name now. I used to have breakfast with him down on Charles Street way back. What was his name? All God's critics got a place in the choir. Some sing low, some sing high.
Oh,
some
yeah.
Sing, do you know who I
well,
mean?
Well, that's the Carter family, isn't it?
No. That's a newer song. That's within my lifetime. And it was written, you won't help me because you have no idea. It was before you were born. And see, I am not allowed to drive at night. That's why Shane is here. He was kind enough. My wife dropped me off. He picked me up and he'll bring me home. And it was... gosh, I will try and remember it. It will come back
to
me.
That's okay. I don't remember.
Sometimes
names,
takes a while.
Yeah.
But doing the coffee house scene That was listening time.
Yes.
No matter what you did, you know. I mean, I did break for Jim Queskin and his jug band with Maria Muldaur. I mean, well, I wish my breaks lasted a hell of a lot longer because they were great to listen to. And as soon as I got on the stage after they had finished a set, it was like, time to talk. Let's play bingo. I mean, it just, the last thing the crowd was ready to do was listen to an unknown kid.
Right, okay.
And so I had to really be a little pushy.
Okay, sure.
I had to come up with, and I dread this, I will dread it for the rest of my life. I came up with toast time.
Toast time?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, tell me about that.
That, well, you see, some people think the Irish drink because we enjoy it.
Oh, I see.
No, we don't. See, God made booze in order to stop the Irish from ruling the world.
From ruining the world.
And we're just fulfilling, you know, his request. And so I would say that, and yeah. Everyone would scream, toast time, and they'd raise their glasses. And then I would give what I referred to as Irish toasts.
Irish toasts,
not
okay.
Necessarily real, but
right,
whatever
sure.
I came up with. Here's to you and here's to me. Maybe we'd ever, never disagree. If perchance we should disagree, to hell with you. Here's to me.
Yeah.
And your drink.
Yeah, okay.
And, I mean, I've had more whiskey spilled on my guitar than most alcoholics have ever seen in their lifetime. And that was more the entertainer, the high energy, get them laughing, get them joking,
yeah.
do comedy songs, write comedy songs. I mean, just so that they were wacko. Get a wireless mic, which I did. Follow men into the bathroom and go, oh, man,
oh God,
what happened,
man?
Oh, jeez, man. I show it over now. I mean, what's the story? And I go out into the parking lot. I'll tell you one story. I went out the parking lot. I saw this young couple, and they were necking. And I walked over and tapped on the window. What you doing? Okay. When I talked to the guy, nothing. Nothing. I just picked her up. We're going back in now in a minute. I said, sure you are. I mean, if I was your age sitting next to a really, really knockout girl, what's your name, sweetheart? And she said, oh, Julie. I hears the door on the side of the building bang, and out comes what had to be a cop.
Uh-oh.
And guess who his daughter was?
Oh, boy.
Because then I had to go get him and stop him,
yeah, right.
While they could get dressed and tell him, you know, I was just joking,
right.
Man.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
They just pulled in the car as I was walking out. It seemed to get her off the hook.
Oh,
him off the hook.
Boy.
He would have been killed. So I did this type of thing. It was part of the entertainment,
yeah, right.
quote.
But it was outrageous.
Completely off the wall, outrageous, but it worked.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, did it work?
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I have to admit, I enjoyed being an entertainer.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the folk. It wasn't what I liked. There's a song you're going to have to try and find one. Most of my original music is about me.
Okay.
Or my family.
All right.
You know? The Old House is one you're going to have to listen to, and I'll have to recite something while you do so that you can find it.
Well, I'm going to try it. Well, what I'm going to do is go over to the next track and see what's on there. Why don't I just pop that over there? Because maybe... here, let's see.
We'll see. Oh, you can tell without putting it on the air?
Well, no, I can't, but what I can do is play it lightly, and you can let me know if we're there. And if you know it's coming up after, then we can just talk lightly until the song comes on, and then we'll be there.
Okay. There is a method to this.
Oh, yes, here it is. Do you hear what this is?
It's called Fly For Me. That's not the one I...
Is that before or after?
The next one is The Old House.
The next one's The Old House. We're just going to let this play a little bit and talk about this. This is another original song of yours?
Oh, yeah. All of these that we've been playing are original music.
Let's give a little taste of this real quick. Here we go.
Fly for me. Fly for me. I lost my wings to overdrive. Please fly for me.
So this is not exactly this is not Irish music. So you weren't necessarily going for the Irish music, but you're of Irish descent and you learn the music, and so you said this is where I can fit in. Is that what you were thinking?
Well,
this is where I can do it. Or?
I tell you, I had a friend who was also in stunt work with me. He heard of a film they were making and said, write some music that comes from the 20s or 30s. And that was one of the songs I wrote about a guy who escaped from jail. That movie later was made, but they didn't like my music. But there was a lot of music in that movie because it...
So you wrote this song for the movie?
I wrote this hoping
that
they want it for the movie, but they didn't want it for the movie. But it still was the type of song that what I can do and what I can't do.
Right.
You know, and if I can't do it for me. You do it. And I just, you know, remember me when you're doing it, you know? And I mean, because I, civil rights movement, I was in the thick of it back then, and slavery and the results of slavery, which have not disappeared even now. And so Fly for me was answering that question.
I see that Freedom Trains. They just say, okay,
yeah.
So.
But you see, I mean, I had heard several times, I heard the preacher, which they shot him.
Martin Luther King Jr.?
Yes.
Yes.
Now, he was around the Boston area a lot, and one of the kids in school turned me on to him, and I went and heard him. I was so impressed with this man, so impressed with his speaking ability, with his way of moving people.
He's unbelievable.
Oh, he was.
Yes.
And I really enjoyed him, really enjoyed him. And
even while you were doing, so you were doing these paid gigs that were like, you said the Black Rose for 20 years?
Yeah, 25 years.
25 years?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that's one of those places that's very well known for the Irish music, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
So, oh, wait a minute, is this the end of the song? Or are we just soloing here?
Yeah, this is the end of the song.
Okay, now we're going to go into this other one.
I hope you're going into the old house because you're going to see how other artists have influenced me in my writing.
Okay, let's listen to this.
Story songs.
Oh, wait a minute.
I hope.
Didn't go to the third one.
We're working on this. Technical difficulty. Don't worry about it,
Ken. Well, that's because, yeah, they hired me to be the I'm just supposed to do the talking.
Here it is.
Ah, here we go. Let's listen to this for
The Old House.
It's strange to see the kitchen closet that holds the broom and dusting rags without the extra colors and designs. All the players' names and numbers, the game schedules without times, held in parks few Eagle Scouts could find. All the pictures and the papers, all the tests we had to sign, I never thought there'd be an end to them, I never thought I'd mind. Now the kitchen's just for eating, not a yardstick of the times. Wish to God this kitchen wasn't mine. The room is now perfection, no lost shoes or soccer pads, just the way I wanted it to be. I can always find a pencil with paper by its side. There was a time when that was impossible for me. Well, the bathroom has no clutter, no toothpaste everywhere. All the clothes, they're in the hamper, not underneath the bed and chair. This room could be in vogue, it's so divine. I wish to God this room wasn't mine. The toys that are on the shelf now, I dust them every day, but the colors aren't as vibrant as before. And if you hear wild laughter once more floating down the hall, that's just from the TV set next door.
At last I have the quiet that I wanted desperately. Is this my reward for all the years? Is this all that's left for me? This house without my children, it once rang, it was alive. I wish to God this lonely house were mine. Oh, this house without my children, it once rang, it was alive. I wish to God this lonely house were mine.
There we go. That was the song that we were looking for. This old house. So tell me about that, because that is a song that you know, your voice sounds a little different now than it did then. I mean, to me, you sound like Pete Seeger, which I think is a great thing. I mean,
I happen to enjoy Pete Seeger's music, and I've known him for several years. So yes, I'll take it as a compliment. I can't play the banjo that way.
That's okay. how did you record that, though? Did you go to a studio, or did you...
Yeah, there's a friend on the island where they've had a lot of the houses fell in during this last storm. And
Plum Island,
yeah. Okay. There was a studio one of my friends had there. I don't know if it's still there or not. I think so, but I'm not sure. And... he had a little studio, and we'd just go in there whenever I had a song that I wanted to try out. And, you know, sometimes it made to a CD or a tape or even LP back then. I'm that old.
L what? No, I don't know. Hey, so did you ever feel that when you were doing some of these gigs that you, like, weren't... okay, well, first of all, you know, you're making money doing it, which is great, you know, but did you feel like you weren't doing what you truly wanted, or did you, you know, feel like, hey, I want to sing, so this is great, you know, whatever the material is?
Well, both. I enjoyed being an entertainer. I enjoyed singing. I loved it. But there was a part of me that felt left out.
Okay.
And that, I think, was the songwriter.
Yeah.
The one who was dealing with... last one of the nighttime people and you know, that type of thing. And I didn't have the chance to really focus on that.
Right.
Now that I'm older, I'd like to.
Okay.
I mean, I have been out of the loop for a few years, and as a result, I mean, I have no place to work yet other than the places I've set up for Paddy's Day and such, which happen every year.
Yeah.
But I'd like to get my name around and say, hey, yeah, I can use your duo. And,
yeah,
you know, I have to have a duo because I have to have someone drive me. I can't do it now, and in the nighttime I'm not allowed to drive.
Did you used to do it as a solo show, though, all these things?
I did as a solo, yeah. The Prince was always a trio, as was the Black Rose.
Oh, okay.
That was always a trio, or a duo at the very least.
Yeah.
And because people expected it.
Right.
There were nights when someone took ill or something, and I was called in, and I did a solo. It was no problem for me to do a solo, especially in the Irish clubs where I could... I could do more Irish and do the ballads.
And you could do the ballads.
Do the stuff that I really enjoyed, that they would enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Thing is, you got to keep one step in front of the audience.
Oh, sure.
You got to know what you think they'll enjoy and give it to them, and be ready to switch right off if you haven't got the right venue.
Yep.
You know, and once they start talking, you know, you made a mistake, fix it.
Yeah,
you know, you've got 3 minutes. Fix the mistake.
Yep, right. Yeah.
To get them back on your side. So that's the entertainer in me,
yep,
who sits there and cringes when I see another band and they've taken the right when they should have gone left.
Yeah.
And I know it, and I see the recognition in their face, but they don't know what to do about it.
Yes.
And that comes with experience.
I know that fear.
What do I do now, man? Well, I know over 1,000 songs. What do I do now?
Yeah. Switch gears
and
quick.
It's very hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to anticipate, and you tend to fall back on what's safe.
Yeah.
I don't like to be safe.
Yeah.
I never enjoyed being safe.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a bizarre sense of humor. I still do.
Yeah.
And I enjoy it. I enjoy my humor, you know? Yeah. I'm older. It's just you do older songs. That's all, you know? You give older toasts. I remember my wife said to me just the other night, you want to go upstairs and, you know, fool around? And I said, sweetheart, at my age, it's one or the other. I'm sorry. I apologize for that.
Hey, that's okay. Hey, do you want to tell people where you're going to be performing?
Okay. Saturday night, that's the 16th, we'll be at the Prince on Route 1 in Saugus.
Oh, great. Okay.
So we'll be there from 7 to 11.
Okay.
I don't believe that they're taking any reservations. First come, first serve. Good
first
luck.
First come, first serve. Okay, good luck. Yeah.
And then Sunday, St. Paddy's Day, we'll be at Rockefeller's in Salem from 1 to 7.
Oh, boy.
Now, this is a big family show because last year we had children running around. I did a lot of the kids' shows for them, teaching them songs, and because that's what their parents wanted, you know. We had a real, real good time. The food's really decent, and, so, you know, it's nice. And the help was really nice, you know.
So, and this is where in Salem?
This is Roosevelt's in Salem. Roosevelt's and it's Salem. Right across from the Irish pub.
Oh, is that right?
Rockefeller's. Oh, I said the wrong name for a minute.
I'm sorry, Rockefeller. This is Rockefeller's in Salem.
Yeah, if Roosevelt's wanted... doesn't exist anymore. It's Rockefeller's.
Well, that's okay. If people wanted to find out more information, would they just look up Rockefeller's in Salem? Or do you have a website yourself?
I do not now, at present time. I was getting bombarded from, I don't know, somebody from China, I guess, that just wanted to make my life miserable.
Yeah, right.
And it wasn't worth the money.
Yeah, okay. So, but are these going to be regular gigs, or are you just...
I did them last year. I'll probably do them again next year.
Okay.
You know, until I'm too old.
So you're probably looking for a place now where you can just sing whatever you
want. I'd like to
wanna.
Be able to work, you know, once or twice a month.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I have a Jimmy Ledger, who's one of my side people, and he, excellent guitarist and vocalist, and he says he's willing to drive me. If he's willing to drive me, man, and give us a call.
There you go.
We're in the phone book in Peabody, John Cochran.
That's excellent. Well, we have a program coming up next. We do have a couple more minutes, but coming up next is the program Under the Radar. Mm-hmm. So we only have another minute or two. I'd love to leave the audience with a song that you perform. Probably right now I have, hold on just one moment.
Let's see what we have on the tape right now.
All right, let's see what we have on the tape as of right now. I'm sure that this is... I think we already listened to this one. Hold on. Okay, here we go. Let's see what it is. It's playing, but...
I don't hear it yet.
Yeah, nothing's coming out, so... Oh, nothing was on that track. Let's try it again. This says it's got 2 minutes worth of stuff on it, so... Here we go.
One last chance for glory.
Good choice.
One more chance for dreams.
All right, well, we're going to leave it at this then.
What a man can be. One last time for trying. One more step to go. My whole life's been waiting. Hold on tight, don't let go. One more time for having what I thought was gone. More than rags to riches, more than just a song. Now the time is coming, and I've waited so long. And there's one last chance for glory. My chance has come after all. One more time for living, days now long gone by. Once more in the action, one more battle cry. One more answer challenge, one last race for me. Once more to raise the gauntlet, this is how it has to be. There's no more time of doubting, no more asking why, no more time to wonder if it's wise to try. One last time of thunder has been handed to me. There's one last chance for glory, one last chance left for me. There's one last chance for glory, one last chance for me.
John Cochran, thank you so much for coming on Local Folk. And yeah, I mean, I even hope to have you on again sometime. It was great talking to you. I feel like we only scratched the surface.
Yeah, it's been a very interesting life. But thank you very much for inviting me. I enjoyed it. And who knows? Maybe somebody will say, let's bring that old man into our club and try him out.
That's a great, I think that would be a great thing. All right, well, we'll talk to you next time, John. Thanks for being on Local Folk.
Thank you.
Too many times there's been a way, still I waited to not say it might have been. If only dreams or rainbows I'd fly through the sky. If laughter were diamonds, then diamonds have I. Dreams of what could be, they're not dreams it should be. They're only shadows of time. I've often known, I've often told to anyone who'd listen, there was a way, a better way. But still I'd sit, I wouldn't change. Better roads are not much good if they have a name. If only dreams or rainbows I'd fly through the sky. If laughter were diamonds, then diamonds have I. Dreams of what could be, they're not dreams it should be. They're only shadows of time. If only dreams or rainbows I'd fly through the sky. If laughter were diamonds, then diamonds have I. Dreams of what could be, they're not dreams it should be. They're only shadows of time. I've heard it said by wiser men, happiness it's only found within the